We've made a wrong turn, and we have landed in Cradle Bay, where Courtney is joined with the Blue Ribbons, and she's trying to turn me.
What?
Be the ball. This is the Wrong Turn Podcast. Hey, Courtney, how are you?
Good. How are you, Edgar?
Not bad, not bad. Today, we are trying to put a different setup.
Yeah.
We are including a little bit of video, so hopefully we'll be able to spruce up the social media guys. You can see what we look like, add some faces to the voices.
We hear you, and we're trying. We are trying. It's not easy. I don't know. All of you podcasters, some of you guys make it look real easy.
Well, I think they make it look easy after the fact. I just realized that cable, now I understand why that was there.
You looked over and you're like, what a mess.
Whoa. Yeah, that's a lot of cables.
Yeah.
I mean, like, yeah. That's interesting. All right, sorry. We digress. Today we're doing 1998's Disturbing Behavior. We are still stuck in the 90s, and apparently we're going around the Dawson's Creek lake of cast of characters, apparently. Well, it's a creek, not a lake. Sorry. We're going around Dawson's Creek.
Yes, because our last record, we covered the lovely urban legend that starred Joshua Jackson, aka Pacey, and now we're headed into Miss Katie Holmes, who was Joey
Potter. Yeah. Fun fact, she did this movie before Dawson's Creek.
Oh, she is a baby in this movie.
Yeah, which is actually, for at some part, she doesn't look it because the way they dressed her up a little bit, especially in the beginning. The director had accidentally stumbled on dailies of Dawson's Creek and came across Katie Holmes and was like, oh, she's the girl. And then I think Dawson's Creek took off while this was filming. And then, so then she was pretty well known at the release of this movie. Mm-hmm. And this was kind of against her Joey Potter type. So back to Disturbing Behavior, 1998, at a whopping bum, 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 bum. At 5.6% on IMDb, 40% on Rotten Tomatoes, just that real sweet mid spot where we like to be, you know, not too bad, not too good. Budget of $15 million, box office of $17.5 million, which is considered a flopperino, written by David Nutter and written by Scott Rosenberg. David Nutter was known for doing a lot of TV shows like X-Files and Millennium, and he thought this horror movie was right up his alley and had some nice little bit of sci-fi elements whipped in.
I do feel a little bad for David Nutter, the director, because with my research, first of all, I had never seen this before. So I went into this the first time in, and you've seen it many, many, many times. Yeah. So I enjoyed it. We'll get into it.
It's not a bad movie. And we're going to go into why it's not a bad movie, but it could have been a great movie. Correct. Not even. No. A slightly better, not bad movie.
It definitely could have been better. But what I said, I feel bad for David because I looked into it and clearly it was not the movie he had even intended. Okay. Like, it got cut so many times because the studio was like, we don't like it. The teens aren't going to see it. Blah, da, da, da. So it ended up not even being what I think his original idea was. But he wanted to walk away. Like, he didn't want his name on it.
I think they cut like 5 times or re-edited 5 times after screenings and whatnot. And we'll paste it all in a little bit. We'll get there. But 73, you know, percent of Google users, you know, which are real fans, the Google users.
The Google reviews are the correct ones. Yeah.
Or the Letterboxd one. But Letterboxd, 2.8 out of 5, because those are just hardcore fans who love to review shit. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's still mid-range, but I feel like it should be a 3. It was right in the height of the teen slasher boom, you know, right in the coattails of movies like Scream, I Know What You Did Last Summer, and
Urban Legend,
which you know, this will
faculty
be 100%. Like, it is just that perfect high school horror movie drama. But this one's got a little bit more sci-fi to it.
Yeah,
which I didn't even realize up until, I guess, when somebody said it, it's like, oh yeah, I guess it is sci-fi. But I was in that prime age for it, so to me, it hit a little bit at home. When I explained it to Ming, what movie we were doing earlier, she was just like, she stated the synopsis like perfectly. Like, she'd
seen it a million times.
Oh, I think we've all. It's.
I'm the only one.
All right, it's got a horrible movie poster. That is the movie poster.
No, I know it's horrible. So that's probably why I was like, this looks dumb. Yeah. That's why I was pleasantly surprised that I enjoyed it. I really did.
Like, they're not giving you like a side character as the front forefront of the movie poster. Like, oh yeah, and this well-known actor is also in this. No, these are all the main actors of the movie.
The movie poster gives you zero.
It's so washed out.
You can't even see Katie Holmes' face, really. You just see like, it's bad. It's bad.
And like, this version of like their washed out faces on the movie poster have always been the movie poster. And I'm like... Why?
Change it.
But you know, going back to what you said about David Nutter and you feeling bad about him. No, 100%, because at the end of it, he wanted to take his name off the movie. Mm-hmm. And instead of going for that pseudonym of whatever directors do when they...
Yeah, like Tim Burton did that for Mystery Men.
Yeah, did he? He was on Mystery Men?
Oh, he was the director of Mystery Men. And then he was like, this movie sucks.
Yeah,
and
it wasn't bad though.
It's okay. It's like three different movies in one. Like, I like the concept of it, like most things. So I get it. But yeah, he was the director. If you go into it knowing it's a Tim Burton thing, it makes way more sense.
Get the fuck out of here. I mean, it's just the names in that movie are so
huge.
The cast, amazing, right? Mm-hmm. But then also like the names that like were written into because of the story, like Frankenstein, was it Casanova Frankenstein?
Yes.
Such a good title for
a
character.
Jeffrey Rush? Yes. With his little pinky. Like.
All right. This is why we're here.
This is why Edgar and I are friends.
This is why we're here. Okay. Appreciate it. Now reestablished.
Okay. Back to disturbing behavior because that's Mystery Men's another day.
Oh man. But like, so David Nutter at the time, he was actually doing really, really well for himself. He had turned down a lot of scripts at the time. And then when he came across Disturbing Behavior, he was like, yes, this is up my alley. I feel like I would have something to say with this. And nothing. Complete fucking shit show, apparently. But it's still like not that bad.
It's not that bad. I know, obviously, we're going to get to the end, you guys, but I will watch this again. Like, I can see myself being like, yeah, I'd watch this again.
I probably put it on at least like once a year, especially when it comes up. I was like, yeah, I'm put it on the background.
I'm a big fan of the Nicole Kidman Stepford Wives, even though I know a lot of people hated it. I actually really enjoyed that movie.
I kind of rewatched the old school one because I was watching clips of that in preparation for this. And I'm like, oh, it looks really, really good. And I know the OG Stepford Wives might be a little bit fucking super creepy, but regardless. So as we do, we will have it in the background for point of reference. We're going to go through it act by act. I'm mostly going to explain it to Courtney because...
That's fine.
But just like some of the writing in this movie was so good, especially the character dialogue. And I think that's what probably just drew people in.
Yeah.
As watchable.
It's... Yeah.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah. I guess that's the acting. Yeah.
The actors do well.
The actors do well.
And... Oh, I'm going to tell you about my favorite guy when we get to him.
Oh, really? Yeah. Is it? All right. So let's go down our list of characters.
I want you to guess.
Is it Embry?
I do love Ethan Embry, even though because when I looked at the cast, I was like, Ethan's in this? For 2 seconds.
Yeah, he had a bigger role at one point.
That's what I read. You know, again, like the whole backstory of his character, there's a lot more to it. So I was a little bummed on that because I'm a huge Ethan Embry, not huge, but I loved him in Can't Hardly Wait or Empire Records. Those like little classic.
Oh, that's right. He carried Can't Hardly Wait.
He did carry. And then Empire Records, he was hilarious. He was like a little stoner kid who loved guar. Love that. But no, there's another character, another guy in this movie that like I, oh my gosh.
Well, let's go through it. All right, but let's go through our list of characters and a little bit of the synopsis.
Might be my all-time favorite character.
We have James Marsden playing Steven, Katie Holmes playing Rachel, Nick Stahl playing Gavin. Is it Nick Stahl?
It's not Nick.
All right, making sure.
You're like, I just got to make sure it's not that guy.
To the main character, Bruce Greenwood playing Dr. Edgar Caldicott. Hey, there's another Edgar.
There's a Dr. Edgar.
Yeah. Catherine Isabel playing Lindsay, William Sadler playing Dorian, and like I said, Ethan Embry playing Alan, which is Stephen's brother, who is pretty much significantly cut out of this movie.
Yes. It come to our knowledge now is Ethan Embry was supposed to have a much larger part, and it was. I think he clearly acted and was filmed, but it got cut to like a minute less than that, I'd say.
Oh, and I forgot, there's one more character. And do they have it here? I don't know if they have it. UV.
Oh, UV's not in there?
Who's the actor?
Dude, you're going to freak out when you figure out who the actor was. And I totally saw, and I totally remembered, and I totally put it together what other movie.
Because I hadn't seen him before, but I didn't know if that was just because of the makeup.
All the makeup.
Makeup and contacts that he put him in.
I had no idea who he was up until, oh, yeah, let's go. Let me trace it back real quick, because guess what? He's in Final Destination.
Oh, God, stop it. Which character? See, I'm not even going to know.
Watch. We're going to sidetrack a little bit, but we do this a lot.
Yeah.
In the OG Final Destination movie.
OG 2000 with lovely Devon Sawa.
Uh-huh. Full circle. I mean, I guess it being like teen movies and stuff like that, like everything is just all the close-knit circles, right? So we're going to run into...
Like to think these
kids are our friends.
Yeah, sure.
I'm just really excited to see who UV is.
It's Chad Donella.
Who was he?
He's UV. He's the best friend that gets hung in the shower.
Oh, he's the best friend. He's the first kill in Final Destination.
Yeah.
After the plane crash. So after the plane crash, he's the first one to get death or whatever you want to say. Yeah,
deathed.
He gets deathed in the shower. You're right. He gets hung. And he has a weird Boston accent in that movie.
He looks a little older.
I would have never guessed that was him.
Yeah. Now you can sort of see the face because he's the friendly albino.
The friendly albino. You're right.
Stark blue eyes and blonde eyebrows.
They like almost purple blue contacts or whatever he's wearing. And then not a bad character, just a little odd.
He's not even on here for some reason. That's
a shame, because UV kind of saves the fucking day.
Several times, actually. Yeah, all right. So.
But my favorite character, we'll get to it when he comes up. How about that? Or do you want to take another guess?
No. We'll get to it. All right. So we have high schooler Stephen Clark comes to Cradle Bay with his family to start a new life after the tragic suicide of his brother, Alan, and they come across a group of do-gooders called the Blue Ribbons who want to indoctrinate Steven and his younger sister to be better at life, basically. And then shit goes awry because the Blue Ribbons are a little bit more than they appear.
Yeah.
Good enough synopsis off the top of the head.
Yeah,
like, I haven't seen this fucking movie a million times.
Loved it. That's straight to the point.
All right. So, like I said, we're going to have it on in the background. If you want to follow along, this will be heavily edited. And MGM was the last studio to get a hold of this movie. And they're the ones who did the final edits on this after... Well, it had already been edited.
It's clear that the studios at this time, every single thing was going for the teen horror slasher.
Yeah.
Everybody was like, oh, Scream was a hit. Then let's go, whatever, which I'm grateful for, because there's so many great movies that came out during that time, but also some shitty ones.
So. No, 100%. like we're going through the list and who knows what we'll do next. Faculty is also like a 50% or 60%, but like maybe we can do Cherry Falls, or maybe we can do Valentine. Maybe we can do, you know, just all in that 90s classic era, a late 90s teen classic era.
Yeah.
You know, let's if I accidentally call everybody, you know, by their other actors' names, like, you know, Steve Cyclops and Rachel Joey and Nick Stahl.
We just kind of go off whatever. Like, for instance, I'm going to be calling him James Marsden. I'm going to be like, James Marsden.
All right. We can go by their actors' names. But
I'm going to call Gavin, though. And I'm going to call Katie Holmes.
I'm going to call Gavin Yellow Bastard, because he was the bad guy in Sin City.
Oh.
Nick Stahl's had like a bit of a career, and he's trying to have a little bit of resurgence.
I'm going to call the Dr. Edgar.
Bruce Greenwood was in the Stephen King. What was the other one? He just did a great piece in The House of Usher. He is Usher. He's the one doing the voiceovers for all of his children in The Fall of House of Usher for the one that just came out
on Netflix.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
He's the main guy.
I haven't watched it.
Everybody here has been in horror movies.
Of course they have. William Sadler.
Plays Death. Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey.
Also, he is in Demon Knight, which is one of my all-time favorite ones. Lovely Billy Zane. I'm going to have to
slip that one in real quick. Yeah. The Catherine Isabel, best known for fucking Ginger Snaps.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And she did this slide right before Ginger Snaps. But most of these, some of these people are Canadian, yada, yada, yada. Like I said, fucking Chad Danella. Fucking
Ethan Embry he did Walking Dead for a little bit. Actually, I think he was in like one episode, but he's done other horror things.
Yeah, Devil's Candy a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Chad Danella, fucking Final Destination. Everybody here.
James Marsden?
Not so much.
Not so much. He went on to be, doesn't he?
Fucking Cyclops.
I know, a Cyclops, but didn't he win Oscars, or am I getting confused with another actor?
Is
he won Oscar?
That's beyond my pay grade. He was in Westworld. Oh, tragic fucking character. James
was James Marsden in like a princess movie with Enchanted. Anne Hathaway? Enchanted.
I don't know if Anne Hathaway is in it. I've never seen it, but I just know.
No, maybe not. I'm getting James Marsden, great actor, but he also looks like a lot of other actors.
Well, there is the whole thing where he was just like getting like really lame, not lame characters, but like Cyclops. Mm-hmm. You know, he's kind of like a simp characters.
Yeah.
He's an attractive white man. I don't like, he falls into other, like, I get kind of confused with a lot of others.
And in Westworld, he was also like a super simp character because he kept dying over and over
again. But he's not bad.
No, he's great.
All right.
I think there were people who were just feeling bad for him.
We need to jump in.
So we start with a cold open, and we got these two lovebirds over here at Makeout Point, and they're getting a little hot and heavy. And
for instance, I thought this was James Marsden at first. So there you go, you guys. I literally was like, okay, white guy, young white guy. It's not. The kid in the car is one of the Blue Ribbons that we find out later, played by last name, is it Effrey? Because they call him F or something. But they are making out at Makeout Point, a classic teen movie.
Oh, yeah. They're getting... And then Nick Stahl.
A.K.A. Gavin.
Yeah, he's being a little bit of a creeper, getting stoned with his dog. Just over here watching Makeout Point. Apparently, he knows whose car it is.
Yeah, because he does show up and he's like, what's going to be the show tonight? So, you know, he kind of must do that often.
Oh, yeah. I guess it just creeps on people. Yeah. The cops show up with the lights turned off and... Homie's getting a little bit of a BJ, and you see exactly what happens to the guys with blue. So immediately we know there's something wrong with the Blue Ribbons, right?
Yeah.
He switches, his eye flares, a little red thing, which is something they did later, wasn't originally in the script, and he snaps this girl's neck and calls her a slut.
Yeah.
Unfortunate.
Rough. And he does, there is a little point in the beginning too where he does say, I need to get my fluids. Oh. Even though we never know what the fluids ever are, but that's okay.
That's fair.
But the cops show up, are like, hey, oh my God, kids, like young kids, get out of here. What are you up to? Only to find the fact that they realize that this guy has just murdered this girl because as she's giving him the BJ, he just snaps her neck.
Yeah. So Andy was getting a little bit of a BJ. Andy Efkin. Was getting a little bit of a BJ. Snaps
her neck. Sorry.
He snaps her fucking neck. And then, like you said, calls her a slut. The cop sees, like, oh, like the younger cop sees. He's like, he killed this girl. Tries to do, I guess, the cop thing, which was to, like, intervene and be like, what happened here? But what's the name? Andy?
So Andy reacts.
Yeah.
Sorry, real quick. The cop sees the dead girl inside there. He reacts. Andy immediately goes for the officer Cox's gun, shoots the younger cop, and now they have two dead bodies. And apparently, Officer Cox is in on the whole thing, and he's just like, get the fuck out of here. I'm going to clean up this situation. He and Gavin, Nick Stahl, has seen the entire fucking thing, and now he knows there's fucking evil at foot. And Officer Cox heard Gavin's dog, Nick Stahl's dog, in the bushes, and now he knows that something's up.
Yeah. Great cold open. Yeah. I liked it. I was like, okay, cool. I know exactly what's going on. Like, the cops are coming up for these fucking kids in town. Well, or rich kids. Not exactly, but I get the idea. Yeah, the authority is keeping these kids or this kid safe.
I was trying to wonder if that was re-edited that way. Like, if we had the cold open. Because immediately we know there's something wrong with the blue ribbons.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then we're introduced to Cyclops and Ginger Snaps here, and they are landing in Cradle Bay, and Cyclops got a real fucking big chip on his shoulder, as he is already a full-grown fucking man who's supposed to play 18.
17, 18, but he's like, oof, 30?
He's actually 28. Yeah, that's pretty close. Yeah, he full fucking 5 o'clock shadow.
Yeah. I'd be like, that's not a high school kid. It's like Marky Mark. That kid, he doesn't even go here.
That was one of the things that I'm like, that kind of, you know. But I mean, I get it.
Just go with it. He's the lead. You don't think about it.
It's a fucking real, real sharp, you know, jawline, that boy. Mm-hmm. That 18-year-old, that growing boy.
That growing boy.
Yeah, yeah. So everybody gets into their car as they shuffle off the ferry, and one of the ferrymen would be like, hey, you guys are moving here? Welcome to Cradle Bay. It's a real nice place to live. And the family's like, oh, shucks, thanks.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure I've seen this house.
I'm pretty sure this is the same town they filmed Fear in.
I'm like, well, this is a shot in Vancouver.
Okay.
But I feel like this house was shot somewhere else.
The backstory on Cyclops' family is they are from Chicago. They are moving to Cradle Bay. There we go. Because there was a tragedy in their family and they want to start anew, I guess. Right? Like we need to, which I feel fucking bad for Cyclops and his little sister to suffer the tragedy, because here we go, guys. They lost their older brother to suicide.
Yeah.
And so they pick up their kids. I don't know. I feel bad for the kids. Like, you move for the kids. Like, you take them away from their friends in this midst of this tragedy just because you're upset. But I don't know.
I mean, kids should be in therapy. And there's no talk about that. The little sister looks like she's coping the best with it because she seems like she has a little bit of normalcy doing what kids do. She's playing with some stuff, eating a sandwich.
Surprised Cyclops or James Martin, whatever, isn't more like violent or aggressive. He's actually kind of a pretty
chill character.
Oh, that's fair.
Yeah. I don't know. I guess I would have figured he would have been a little bit more like angry. No. But everyone grieves differently.
I mean, he does have a little bit of a short fuse, mm-hmm. and that could be attributed to just always being slightly upset, you know? Because, you know, thoughts of your past loved ones are never far from your fucking thoughts, you know? So then we're introduced to...
Yeah, we go to high school. He's attending high school.
100%. this fucking also man school, is going it? To high school.
This fucking man is heading to high school.
Yeah. So then we're introduced to English class. Bit of... They want Cyclops' opinion on fucking Dickinson? Emily Dickinson? Or were they reading...
Yeah, Dickens.
Dickens. Different. Dickinson.
Charles Dickens.
Charles Dickens. Thank you very much. And this fucking English teacher is fucking enthralled with somebody's interested in some, you know, some literature, which is fine. That's fine. He's just trying to be a good teacher, whatever. And then we have a latecomer, the Greasers.
It's easily like the greaser or the blue ribbon
in this scene, because the scene is the greaser that comes in late. We'll just call him that. Like, once it kind of starts a little bit of interaction with the teacher calling him a peckerhead, and the teacher kind of rolls with it and he's like, excuse me, well, what's a peckerhead?
Like,
would you say you're a peckerhead, peckerhead?
You're a peckerhead, 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 peckerhead. Some good old 90s slang. And they just get into a rumble with one of the blue ribbons, and then the greaser gets sent out to the principal.
It's really funny because for these kids being like on the straight and narrow, they are constantly antagonizing people that aren't part of their group.
Exactly. Like, if you are not part of the blue ribbons, you are bad, you are wrong, and I'll fight you. And I'm like, isn't that against what you want someone to be in society?
Yeah, instead of being accepting, they are very very condescending.
Exactly. They're like, if you're not like us, you're not allowed in. I'm like, that's not what you want to be raising.
And then we cut immediately to lunch, and this is probably one of the best scenes in the fucking movie, where we set up this basically little
God, high school ecosystem. Love a lunchroom scene like this, where they're like, let's check out this fucking school. Like, where are the nerds at? Where are the goths at? Where, like...
Oh, man. And everything is color-coded, which is really, really slight, so you didn't even notice. I never noticed until I went through. And Cyclops is eating lunch by himself, and we have UV and Gavin just asked to sit next to him. And they introduce themselves, and they got some real, real good fucking dialogue coming out. Right? I'm just gonna insert the fucking dialogue.
You need to, because it's truly incredible. When I was like, I went back a couple of times, and I was like, what? Like, what did they say?
Oh yeah, you have to go through it a little bit.
It's a class system here at CBI, Stevie Boy. Check it out. There you got your motorheads. Car jocks, all the world's a gasket, and a lube job, and a pack of luckies. Music of choice, posi traction, overdrive, classic rock, Skinner, the almonds, loose, drug of choice, beer, Miller Genuine Draft, keggers can't be choosers, freaks who fix leaks. Over here you have your micro geeks, nerds, whiz kids, and various other bottom feeders. Music of choice, the sound of an Apple PC being booted up. Drug of choice, Stephen Hawking's A Brief History of Time, and a cup of jasmine tea on Saturday night. Freak signal squeak. Over there, you have your skaters, riffing, raging kids in their ramp tramps. Baggy pants, sticky wools, doing 50-50 grinds with an ollie grab finish on a homemade half pipe in the woods. Music of choice, the thwack of the hacky sack. Drug of choice, ecstasy, E-tab, baby, longer loving through science. Freaks in sneaks. Here's where it gets really nasty. Owner runs with that group over there, Blue Ribbons.
What's that?
It's a community group. Good kids. Bake sales, car washes, kiss a lot of adults, speak to
Blue Robots.
Here, here. Those three guys, Cradle Bay's answer to Manson, McVeigh, and OJ. Trent Whalen, Andy Efkin, Robbie Stewart.
Hey, I bet you didn't know that toast came in three flavors.
This group's music of choice, the hum of perfection, the buzz of ambition, drug of choice, life, pursuit of clean living. At the expense of all who sniffle at the hem of their gowns.
Freaks so chic.
And you got kids like me and UV here. Names who like are metal heavy, Marlboro Slight, music of choice,
harvester of sorrow, language of the mad.
Drug of choice, what do you got?
Freaks all week.
That's it. Lesson over. Class dismembered. Welcome to Cradle Bay High, Stevie Boy. Welcome to my nightmare.
Crazy.
And this chick here looks like a Heather Graham like knockoff. It's actually really, really funny. So then we find out immediately that Gavin and UV are the stoners of the school. Yeah. And so, and hence the outcast. They are in their own little social group outside of everybody else. So they don't really blend in. So hence they meet the only new kid here and they introduce themselves, who also seems like a little bit of an outsider.
That's it. Like, Gavin, they just sit down and they basically become friends, I guess, right away. There isn't, like, Gavin just starts telling him the
whole entire lunchroom. Oh yeah. Like, here we go.
We got the motorheads. I'm not even going to do it justice, but like, it is
the way he describes each of the groups. And straight up, Mean Girls stole
this. Really?
This, I feel like. Because Mean Girls does a really good version of, like, let's go around the lunchroom and let me tell you who's who. And I feel like, I'm like, did you just steal that from Disturbing Behavior? Maybe not. I don't know. It's a classic thing. You see it a lot. I mean, you see it a lot, but I don't know. That's what I thought of when I saw this. I was like, oh, but obviously this came first.
The only thing that really like irks me is just like the stereotypical nerds. Like, nobody like with their vests and their computers and things like that. I'm like, all right, that's the only thing that doesn't like really kind of play out for me, but whatever.
Oh, it's just like if you're a nerd, you're therefore just the computer nerd.
Yeah, that's fine, whatever.
Yeah.
And then they point out the Blue Ribbons who are sort of in their own social group. And they call them the Blue Robots, bake sales and whatnot, volunteering.
And you do see the lovely Andy from earlier.
Yeah.
Right at the, so that's like that connection right there that you're seeing. Oh, this kid is the guy who killed a girl in the beginning of this movie.
Yeah, it's Andy, Trent, and one of the other gentlemen.
Oh my God. I think it's UV.
Robbie.
Has a really great line that I do remember. And he goes, I guess I don't remember completely, but didn't you know that toast came in three different colors?
three different flavors.
Yeah. Whatever. Three different flavors. And then he's talking about those three, the popular boys.
I literally thought they had an albino. I literally thought this guy wasn't a fucking albino. Yeah,
I didn't. I was like, he's not a real albino. Well,
or like a very pale person. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, the wig. I'm sorry, the wig.
Well, now I get it's a wig, but he's wearing a hat the entire time, so yeah, I didn't fucking know.
But trust me, if I would have seen this back in 2001 or whatever, I would have thought that as well. I'd have been like, yeah.
He played it really, really well, too. So like you said, we have the Motorheads, the Skater Kids, the Nerds, the Blue Ribbons.
And then they're just the
floaters.
Yeah, they're stoners. So then we see the Blue Ribbons sort of, you know, kind of surrounding one of the Nerd Kids, and you kind of see like the kid's a little bit afraid
because they're bullying him. That's the idea I got, is they're being kind of bullied.
Well, I thought they were trying to indoctrinate that guy. I thought they were trying to get, basically, that's what it looked like.
Oh,
like basically they go around and they just start going around recruiting people one by one until like everybody's a Blue Ribbon essentially,
sort of. But it's kind of the parents
too.
The parents are sort of the ones in charge, according to, like, they have to go to the meeting, and at the meeting they're like, remember, they kind of like vote.
Oh, I don't know if it was only set up through the parents, but I mean, I know it's also set up through the parents. Oh, all right.
And then they just are like, with the kids, they're just like, yeah, you're a Blue Ribbon now, and then therefore you're cool.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's just my take.
I don't think about that. Because then you don't see that guy ever again.
All right.
You don't.
So then
Cyclops sees the Motorhead from earlier. Dickie, that's what his name was, and basically just goes off in his kerfuffle as he fucking rolls off in his fucking Mustang. And then we cut to Dickie later at night as he's here to pick up some motor parts at the creepy fucking docks.
Yeah, nighttime in a harbor. I need to go pick up. What is he picking up?
Motor parts for his car.
Okay.
Because that's what he is. Yeah. And then realized a little bit of an ambush as Trent comes out, who was the guy he was fighting with earlier in English class, and realize they're about to jump him, and it doesn't look great for Dickie.
Yeah, all the Blue Ribbons and their letter jackets.
And it was a big setup because they cut him like the ramp in between the boats.
Yeah.
But Dickie's a Motorhead and he doesn't, you know, shy down from a fight.
Yeah, but that's like one versus what, 12?
It's like 12. It's
like, so sorry.
I don't think you're gonna win that.
Yeah. I've definitely talked my way into some fights of way too many people,
exactly.
And it's not great. So it didn't look good for Dickie. And then we cut to the next morning as Cyclops is having a little bit of a meeting with the school counselor,
and basically kind of going into like, we know you're here. We want you to be happy. This is, and we get to meet Mr. Dr. Edgar.
Heyo.
Who is the school, what is it?
I guess a consultant.
Guidance counselor? No, I don't think you call that psychiatrist.
The guy in the back is the guidance counsellor. Okay. And like they're,
he's just a doctor.
What the fuck is he doing? He's
all of a sudden, who is this guy? Like, I thought is he supposed to be like a therapist, like a school therapist, to be like, I'm here to help you try to get over the tragedy that in Chicago, the loss of your brother.
Yeah, because they do confront him about it too, which is like, oh, everybody knows my shit, which would be my, like, I hate that shit. You know, when everybody is in your business. And I do like it how Cyclops, James Marsden, is distressed, and they do the flashbacks with like the VHS flashbacks of Ethan Embry and just floating through his head. I think that's great.
Yeah, it's straight to the point. You get it.
Because, yeah, he's hurting. He's hurting all the fucking time.
Of course.
It's only 8 months. Like, that's what I believed, I think, in the movie. It's like 8 months ago is his brother committed suicide.
He should be
He should
be 100%. That,
I can't imagine, but it's just, yeah, rough.
So he was kind of like, it was like a little bit of a, I don't want to say intervention, but it was kind of a little bit of a meet and be like, hey, you should think about joining some extracurricular activities, yada, yada. The Blue Ribbons sound great. But like you said, what the fuck is he doing there? He shouldn't be at the fucking school, other than he's just probably just signing up kids for his fucking program. And he just needs lab rats, essentially. So then Cyclops leaves the fucking school and he runs into Katie Holmes, Joey Potter, who is Rachel. We're going to throw so many names at you.
You're going to be like, what's this character? Joey.
Yeah.
And he's mesmerized by her. He has like a little moment where it feels a little long. Oh, yeah. Honestly, I'm like, how long are you going to stare at her, man?
And then Gavin walks up. He's like, he calls her a bona fide jitterbug, yeah. Which, like I said, the dialogue is fucking great in this.
And they're all friends. So Joey is part of the UV and Gavin clan, yeah, I guess.
Well, I guess there were more. It just turns out that a lot of those kids became Blue Ribbons, which is what you find out later. Which is like, oh, okay. Now knowing that there's only three, there's actually more of them before. And a little no effects sticker.
I know, I love that.
Yeah. So then
this, by the way, this soundtrack rules. It's a good soundtrack.
Let's look it up.
God, Katie Holmes says a line, or she has like one of the 90s slang in this movie.
The worst 90s slang at this
point. Yeah, I'm like, I don't remember this. And granted, I was young. I'm like, I don't think this was ever cool. But Katie Holmes.
Are you gonna say what I think you're gonna say?
Yeah, you ready?
Go for it.
I have it written down. Razor.
Oh.
Sounds razor. Awful. So that's supposed to be, to my knowledge, it's supposed to mean that it's cool. Like, sounds razor, man. No. Razor. Yeah. Nope.
No, never picked up after this.
Don't. It's never happened. Razor scooter?
Maybe. It'd be like, sounds razor. I'm like, no.
No.
Even when I watched this, I was like, stupid.
Well, that's why I wrote it down. I was like, what?
Yeah. So then we cut to the local fucking Trader Joe's. And yes. These boys are trying to pick up a six pack by asking some adult to buy them some beer, which is like, man, they're out in public.
Yeah.
Like, there's plenty of people walking around. Like, that's not the way to do it. You go to a convenience store. Everybody knows you got a convenience store. And then Chug, one of the Blue Ribbons wearing a football jersey, comes up to Rachel or Joey Potter and just being like, hey, Rachel, you want to go to the ice cream shopping with me sometime?
Yogurt shop. Because this is where the Blue Ribbons hang out. Like, fucking classic 50s kids. Like, let's go to the yogurt shop and get a milkshake and a burger because we're good kids.
And that's that. We have a good time. And I love it how Gavin just gives him so much shit for it. He's like, the yogurt shop? The yogurt shop?
I enjoyed Gavin and his dialogue, even though sometimes I was like, you fucking weirdo. But overall, I enjoyed Gavin.
Well, the only, like, watching the edited out ending, I'm like, oh, man, you're talking way too much. Like, yeah, I get it. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It wasn't always perfect. And then Chug has had enough of Gavin's shit, goes in as he's going to get some fucking classic fucking milk.
Because Rachel, by the way, Katie Holmes, does not want to go to the yogurt shop with Chug.
Yeah.
So he's a little pissed.
And then he's basically just eye-fucking Katie Holmes from inside the supermarket.
Basically, like, the editing of it is very, how would you describe it?
It's like weird Terminator vision that they have flashing in and out.
Because you get another glimpse of the eye, like we did in the beginning. Like, he's being activated.
Or he's, like, snapping because he's getting
He's getting horny.
He's getting a rush of horny.
This is what the thing is like, when these teens get horny, it's like they act out.
Which is great on paper when you say it like that. 100%. Like, basically, they lose their shit when they get horny.
Like, they cannot, the men, they just cannot, especially the men, like, the men get angry. You do see the female, or the girl goes through it too. Yeah. But so, yeah, he gets super fucking horny, but he can't control it. So he starts beating the shit out of everyone in this grocery store.
Well, he comes across two skater kids who are just like being fucking goofballs and just eating shit, and just come across Chug and bump into him. And then that's just it. That's the camel that broke the Blue Ribbon's back. And
we do get one.
Because in terms of
gets violent, though.
It's violent. That's the best part. And there's that scene where he rips out what is this?
The nose ring.
This.
The septum.
Yeah.
The septum ring.
Nasty. I had to look away. I did this. I love it. But I was like,
It's not so much that they fucking break. It's just like they get super violent immediately.
When they're horny.
So when I was looking, it's like, they're the whole Blue Ribbon thing is that they were supposed to suppress a lot of emotions and hormones. And then turns out you can't do that with teenagers because that's when they are at their most emotional and horniest, apparently. Yeah. Yeah. So,
but that's the idea, because they're like you said, suppressing it because they want these kids to be good kids. Yeah. So meaning sex is bad. Like, they're not. So having sex would be bad.
but they're like, but immediately that's like, none of that's working out.
But it's not working out because you're fucking whatever it is, like your little implant, whatever. Yeah. Like, it's the one thing it does is when you get horny, these kids freak the fuck out. You messed up. Sorry, Dr. Edgar. You messed up. I
guess like suppressing it is not good. So like, it's they're just all ticking time bombs essentially. Yeah.
Education is your best route, everyone. Like, educate your kids so they make smart choices.
So then Nick Stahl.
Ooh, my favorite character's coming up.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This is a little silly. But yeah, Nick Stahl takes UV to... No, sorry. Nick Stahl takes Cyclops to the boiler room to where he keeps his cigarettes, apparently, because you can't keep your cigarettes anywhere else. Like, not in your fucking book bag, I guess.
No.
And I thought he was going to take him here to get stoned or something like that, but, you know.
Yeah, because I was a little thrown off at first by the introduction to this character, but then I was like, I love this person. This is great.
Oh, we're introduced to
they call him Mr. Newberry, and he's the janitor. Mm-hmm. And he was in the sewer catching rats.
Which is...
And Edgar, I'm so sorry. Who does that remind you of?
Catching rats?
Yeah. Nothing? Not even our lovely Charlie Kelly, King of the Rats? Yeah, like, I'm sorry. I did a deep dive because I had to see if It's Always Sunny ever made a reference to this movie and Charlie Kelly and this character, because it is striking.
Yeah, I mean, a little bit. This character is fucking ridiculous.
I love him.
So we're introduced to Mr. Newberry, the janitor, and he is a little bit of a goofball.
Yeah, yeah.
He's obviously some sort of speech impediment.
Played by William Sadler, who I've loved since Demon Knight.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this is my favorite character. Love this guy. He's great.
And he loves that. He loves catching rats because, like, the mayor will give me a quarter for each rat. You know, I'm like,
good job. That's
so
good voice.
So, yeah, like he says, even Gavin's just like, he's got kind of like a village idiot kind of a thing. So they're all kind of fucking making fun of him as they're talking to him. They're being real fucking condescending to him as he's catches rats with these high frequency machines, apparently, that throws the rats fucking for a fucking tizzy.
Yeah, it like hurts their ears and it scrambles. But yeah, man, this whole character in his voice is like, the rats, I gotta get the rats. Yeah, yeah. So, it's Charlie, man.
It is pretty Charlie.
It's pretty Charlie.
And then we cut to the parking lot where we have all of our characters. Basically, the entire school is there as they're watching as they demolish Dickie's Mustang.
The demolish the, yeah, Dickie's car, because Dickie's gone.
And it's called... And it's called the Blue Bash. I didn't never realized it. They planned this. It's got a banner and everything.
There's a banner they painted.
They're raising money for, I guess, the community. And as you get introduced to Dickie, who has a complete 180, is wearing some fucking awful khakis and a little fucking blue vest. And I mean, even as a blue ribbon, why would you have demolished the fucking car?
Yeah, why? Because it's a muscle car?
Or it's like a symbol of whatever Dickie...
It's a symbol of being a greaser and a bad boy and you're not like that anymore. I'd be like, it's still a quality car. What are you guys doing?
You could have sold it for charity. Whatever.
So that's what I mean. These blue ribbons aren't good kids.
And I'm sure, like, they're getting their fucking rocks off just fucking beating the shit out of that fucking car.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then everybody's just kind of like, what the fuck is happening? But we cut to
The yogurt shoppy. Yeah.
Cyclops was invited by, or is he just there to get yogurt?
I think he just goes there to check it out because he knows the yogurt shop is where they're at.
Yeah.
And the blue ribbons are, by the way, they're being nice to James Martin.
What I'm saying. Like any social outcast, I think they just try to sign up.
Yeah. So I guess I get what you're saying. Where like they have no reason. Maybe they're like, oh yeah, it's a new kid, so it might be all right.
And Robbie looks a lot like my cousin Pablo. So Robbie has a very minor part, but we're gonna call him Pablo for the rest of the
season. Pablo.
So he's introduced the entire blue ribbon gang, and fucking Dickie, like, released out of the fucking birthing tube like yesterday. He was like, you are from Chicago? And I'm like, what? So you can tell that obviously there's something wrong with fucking Dickie.
Yeah.
But I wonder if that was like, obviously that's intentional, maybe the way he says it, but it's just like,
did you have friends in Chicago?
Did you ever talk to friends? You're like, oh, okay.
So Gavin comes into the yogurt shop, you know, in enemy territory. All of a sudden, the blue ribbons go on defense. And he's just like, Cyclops. I know we had a little bit of a disagreement, but you just go, you know, you cut tail and run, you know, like I thought we were homies.
And I do love Gavin. What the fuck is a shoppy?
he's got a gruff sounding voice. Like, as a teenager, nobody sounds like that, but like, he just, you know, like he's way older than he actually is.
Yeah, but at least he looks like a teen.
Yeah, I would say it's the bad hair, maybe.
Yeah, I think it's the bad hair, but he's passable as a teenager.
So they're about to fuck up Gavin's ship, and Cyclops gets in the middle of it, and he's just like, let's go. And Trent keeps calling him brother. And I hate when people call me brother. Be like, anytime somebody be like, hey, brother. And I get it. I didn't even realize it until now. Oh, that's super triggering for him.
Oh, you're right. I didn't even think about it either. Yeah. And he's like, I don't want to hear that.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that. Because he fuck me. Look at that. We're learning new things all the time.
Is that why it's triggering for you?
No.
Oh, you just don't like it in general?
Since I was like in high school. No, I remember some guy calling me brother. I'm like, what the fuck is that shit?
What about bro?
Bro's fine, I guess.
Okay.
So then Gavin's got proof of there's something afoot in Cradle Bay. He's got a photo of them all at a bar with basically everybody that was in the yogurt shop, and that they were all of his best friends not too long ago. And he's just like, whatever, maybe people get tired of your shit. You know, he's like, I can relate. That's fair. So now they're going to do a little bit of reconnaissance as they bust into another giant air duct as we come across in movies.
Yeah. That's a forever thing. I think, air ducts that are giant like this in every movie that's ever existed.
So we're at the school amphitheater.
And we come across a PTA blue ribbon meeting, essentially.
Yeah.
And this is the part where I guess I understood that the PTA meeting is where they're like, they talk about this blue ribbon course.
Yeah.
Like it's a course that Dr. Edgar has designed for them in order for these students to be the best that they can.
And he's got them all fucking eating out of their fucking hand because now they have good fucking kids where they before had fucking kids that were a little.
Yeah. But the mom that stands up right away, she's like, yeah, I understand that, you know, he went away for this retreat, meaning the like whatever the implant that gets put. And I think the mom says something like, but he's come back and he's just like angry. I think she says like there's certain, like he's a big temper.
Yeah.
Like she knows something is wrong. But of course, Dr. Edgar is like, no, it's all part of the process.
Yeah, it's all part of it. He says it's basically like, oh yeah, now they have a sort of sense of duty and purpose. And he says like when they soar with the eagles, he says the pigeons feel a little low. So now basically they're all going to look like giant fucking narcissists probably, you know, or anybody that is not in their blue ribbon social class is basically beneath them.
And then the doctor, and then like this is the, I guess, what I was going for, because they start talking about, well, we have a new person that we want to get. And he's like, he's been suspended 4 times this year. He masturbates a ton. He has like a C average student, but he's an A+ potential. Da 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 da. Does everyone agree that we want him to be in part of this course? And everyone like raises their hand. They're like, yeah. And that's immediately because Gavin and Cyclops are watching from the bear vent. Gavin's like, oh shit, and like bust out because Gavin's parents walk in the door. And so you're like, oh, Gavin's next. Which I guess I would like a timeline as to like how long have they been noticing these kids being put under these blue ribbons, and like how long before you're next, basically. Or I'm just maybe looking too deep into it.
No, I mean, like, what always got me was, like, the turnaround, right? Because, like, it seems like then, like, Dickie gets assaulted one night, and then the next day he's back, and he's a blue ribbon. I'm like, that took no time whatsoever. Like, he's not gone. But yeah.
You're right, because there's another scene, too, where he's, like, with the girl later on. We'll get there. Where the doctor also says, well, you know what? She's going to miss practice for a week.
Oh.
Like indicating that she's going to be gone for a whole week.
Because they got to fix a problem.
Yeah.
So Gavin's losing his fucking shit because he just figured like my parents signed my fucking death warrant because it would basically erase the person who he is right now. And Gavin likes himself. You know, he might be a little bit of a social outcast, but he's confident in who he is, you know, at least.
And I do enjoy that about Gavin.
Yeah. Like Gavin, he's just like, if they come at me, just like, I'm gonna fucking take care of him because he's got a fucking gun apparently.
Yeah, that was a little unsettling because he was like, I'm gonna go home and kill my parents.
Well, he says, like, if they come at me. Yeah. And yeah, he calls them his rents.
Yeah.
And he's like, even my rents, which are like a little bit of that 90s classic slang that we love.
But I mean, James Marsden jumps right in and is like, you're not doing that.
Yeah.
Takes the gun.
As a good
friend. Rightfully so. Like, smart on James.
Yeah. And he throws it into the ocean, I think.
Yeah.
And he leaves him alone, which is not the best idea because your friend is a little bit fucking distraught.
Yeah, he's a little, but here we are. Yeah. So these two separate.
And I wonder if there was a cutout, if they cut this scene out.
That's happened. Another thing too, like learning about this was a completely different movie.
The fucking chop chop they did on this thing.
The idea exactly that went into this movie is the complete opposite of what came out. Not complete opposite, but enough for the director was like, this wasn't what I wanted.
Yeah.
And that sucks.
It sucks. So what were you referring to earlier where you meant like how long before
all the kids. Like, why is it? I mean, that's why I was like, they choose specific ones where they're like, I'm going to choose this kid now because he's been failing and he's a good
candidate.
There you go. He's a good, like, Gavin's a good candidate for this program, Blue Ribbons. And I was like, who started all the Blue Ribbons? Like, were you just picking popular kids and then it all became that? When the rest of the kids in the school, they're aware of these kids because we were coming up on this lunchroom scene where we're coming up to watch it, but it's just the other kids in the school. Like, I know this movie's not about them, but they don't seem ever that concerned about it.
Oh, well, I think, like I said, I think they only picked the outcast because of results, right?
Right.
And
of results.
Yeah, the director Caldecott talks about, there's like, oh yeah, we're getting great results, yada yada yada, because they're having such drastic changes in troubled teens.
Yeah.
But if you're not a troubled teen, like you said, and if you're just a good kid, then why would you ever join?
Exactly. And then I'm like, but then the Blue Ribbons are fucking mean people.
Yeah.
So like, why would you want to go to school with them? Because they're gonna be bullies to you, even if you aren't like a troubled, maybe they are nicer to you, but if you're,
I just don't think it's one of those side effects that they're, like you said, one of those side effects that they aren't realizing is happening, that they're basically now not all as altruistic as you want them to be, and now they're just fucking assholes that anybody that's not into their fucking group.
I just think that maybe, like, there should have been more. I don't know. Because at the end of the movie, is, we're going to jump to it. Don't worry. Like, he says they're all dead. And I know he meant the Blue Ribbons, but I was like, yo, you do realize there was, like, probably 1,000 other kids at that school. So you're just going to be like, oh, guys, 24 kids died the other day.
Oh, yeah. that the next day is going to be really, really weird. No.
Everyone in the school is going to be like, what?
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, no, let's get to that part. No. Well, oh, I love that part. No, I might have to. Oh, I might have to leave that one out just so we can get to.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah.
So then we cut to the next day, and all of a sudden we got a nice little intro of Gavin in his new ensemble. I hate a fucking button down in a sweater.
Like, yeah, Gavin shows up in a sweater vest and a button down, and he's all proper now.
And Katie is very, very upset. Sorry, Rachel is very, very upset, and she runs up to him. It's got great pacing, actually. Mm-hmm. And then Pablo comes up to him. He's like,
you're on the wrong side of the lunchroom, honey. And I'm like, what the fuck is that? Yeah.
And then Gavin walks up to the bake sale, and where it's littered with Blue Ribbon women, and they're just like, treat yourself, which is a lot. They say that a lot to themselves as far as the Blue Ribbons are concerned. I'm not sure why, but apparently it's a line David Nutter used in all of his work, which is what I find out. And then Cyclops goes and wants to have a little bit of a chat with Gavin and his new duds, with his new friends, but they're being a little gatekeepy, like literally, they're not letting Cyclops walk across the room.
This is kind of what I meant here at this scene. Like, when they start fighting, all of the other kids beat it.
They know something.
Exactly. They know something's up with these kids. They like, oh, these kids are mad. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. So there's probably other stories and other interactions that these kids have had with other people. Mm-hmm. I want to say there's like 30 of them. And Cyclops fucking loses. It takes a chair to one of the other kids, and it gets jumped by the rest of them. Yeah. And it's an unfair fight, but he tries.
And we have my favorite guy, King of Rats.
King of Rats.
he's witnessing it all.
And I'm surprised. Actually, Cyclops, I'm surprised they didn't fucking like murder Cyclops.
Yeah.
Because apparently these kids get real fucking violent.
And Nick Stahl gives Cyclops a hand, and he's like, what happened to you? And he just gives him a really, really cheesy line, like, we shall overcome. I'm like, what the fuck is that even supposed to mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he punches him in the fucking stomach. No, he knees him in the stomach, which is a really odd choice.
Yeah.
But yeah, still be like, I guess we're not friends anymore.
I guess. I don't know. Wouldn't you just kind of leave it at that? Or you'd be like, you know what? I got to investigate.
Which one? Like who?
I don't know. I think I would probably
maybe like
if you were like if you were
Cyclops.
Cyclops.
Or we just be like, I guess Gavin has a change of heart.
No, I mean, like you literally took a gun from him the and night before. Now he's completely changed. What if he was afraid of? And so like, no, you would want to know what the fuck happened. Yeah. Like you'd want to have a conversation. Be like, what happened to you? What happened to you in the last 12 hours?
Yeah, essentially? Exactly.
But like I said, the turnover is ridiculous. Yes.
That's crazy. That's what you mean. It's just like you were just like, having almost a breakdown.
You were about to murder a bunch of people last night.
And then now you're just standing here and be like, hey, I'm okay.
Yeah, I'm okay. And these are my new friends.
Mm-hmm. And you'd be like, no.
So they give Gavin a blue Letterman jacket because now he's part of the Blue Ribbons as he shed his old life by helping beat poor Cyclops while he was down. And now he's at the yogurt shoppy having a what are you got a yogurt at the yogurt shoppy? Isn't it called the ice cream shoppy?
Who knows? You think it like just call it a milkshake shop. Like why whatever. Yogurt shop, I think frozen yogurt.
So Cyclops is having lunch in Mr. Newberry's office, hence
the boiler room. Also, a little bit, it's so weird that like the kids would just be like, I'm gonna go hang out with the janitor.
Well, he's not hanging out with the janitor. He's just hanging out by himself in the janitor's closet. I actually had that exact same copy. So Cyclops pulls out a book from Mr. Newberry's jumper, and he has Slaughterhouse-5 by Kurt Vonnegut. Apparently, as high schoolers do, everybody reads Kurt Vonnegut in high school. I read a bunch of it.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah. I never finished Slaughterhouse-5, even though I had that exact same copy. But so Mr. Newberry's having a little bit of a fucking fit right now because he's being fucking discovered. He's just like, what kind of fucking simpleton reads Slaughterhouse-5? Because even though Slaughterhouse-5 is a very easy read, it's not the fucking most straightforward one.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just kind of just takes down his fucking mask.
Yeah. I mean, he just basically says, he's like, look, I get away with my simple life by kind of like letting people think I'm stupid.
Yeah. Yeah. Nailed it.
Honestly, that works for him. Like, he fucking, this character, I don't know. He rules. I think I really enjoyed him.
You'd like to go through life just be like acting like somebody else, but at home.
No. I just think that like in the purpose of this movie, I was like, we definitely needed that guy. Clearly.
And I guess there's a whole story here with Mr. Newberry, apparently.
Yeah, again, with the editing, I'm like, who the fuck knows what else he did in this movie other than he was just the king of the rats. I don't know. I spent a good 15, 20 minutes trying to see, like I told you, if there was ever a reference in any Sunny episode to this character.
The most like those guys do, or a lot of the references they make, you know, like the real obvious ones, are like anybody that's from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
So like they love to make that those kind of references.
The only thing I could find was the fact like the whole King of the Rats for Sunny came up because Charlie Day, the person, had rats in his actual house.
No.
And so he was like, I have to actually kill rats. So I was like, I don't think it has anything to do with this Mr. Newberry character, but I was just howling at like the similarities.
Because
we are a horror podcast, first of all, but then on the down low, we're a Sunny podcast.
Real deep Sunny fans. So I did realize that Mr. Newberry and Caldecott are named after the Newberry Award and the Caldecott Award that are awarded to, I guess, children's books or young children's books or YA novels and things like that.
I didn't know that.
So I was like, oh, so hence those names are very familiar with young kids, actually. So the Blue Ribbons are kind of just fucking scattering in the woods, kind of teasing or fucking around with Cyclops as he runs home and he comes across Lorna, our discount Heather Graham right here, who looks a lot like, straight on looks like Heather Graham.
She does. And she's the girl or the popular girl Blue Ribbon.
Yeah, she's like one of the head blue ribbons. And she's tutoring
Cyclops' sister.
And the parents are gone and the sisters already went to bed, but she's still there studying. Just go home. But no.
Yeah,
this is like when we see like her version of like what happens, because he does say like what, or he does ask her to leave, and then she's like, but can I please use the bathroom first? And he's like, yes, and then she gets horny. That's just it. But I guess
contrary to popular belief, women get horny too.
Of course we do. But I guess that was the interesting one too, because I did write it down, because the guys, when they get horny, they get super aggressive. They start fights. Like, the guy killed the girl in the beginning. Her, like, she just immediately goes to, I'm bad, I'm a sinner, and starts hurting herself.
Well, yeah, it does that, but because she gets rejected by him. But first, she does try to seduce him.
Yeah, she does. But I guess, I don't know. I just didn't know if it was the difference between genders. Maybe that's, I was reading too much into it.
Yeah.
But, like, they let her be horny. Does that make sense?
Well, it's also a different situation, like a different social situation. Like, they are alone.
Correct.
In a room
where the other ones...
where Chug was out in public.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit different. Mm. And then same thing with Andy in the beginning, like, they were alone for a second. Mm. Like, there's, I'm sure there would have been a part where if Cyclops had gone with it with a little bit, like, she would have snapped in the middle of it and tried to murder him.
Sure. But I guess what I'm saying is, because in the beginning, even though we didn't get to see any more other than him killing that girl, like, he wasn't like...
It was just, I don't know.
No, he took her out there.
Yeah.
So there was, so he took her out there with the intention of getting his fluids drained. Heyo. Yeah.
Heyo.
And then just has a change of heart because it's just that constantly being suppressive of hormones. We're like, yes, I want to. I'm super attracted to you. I'm super fucking horny. But now I have to stop because I have a fucking implant.
Yeah. What happens in this scene here with these two is she basically, like I said, she's like, she starts hurting herself. She bangs herself in on the mirror and is basically like, no, you're bad. It's bad. No, no. And then tries to attack him and then snaps out of it.
Yeah, she gets rejected.
Blood down her head and is like, I have to go home now.
That's weird part too, that she gets rejected. She has a seizure.
Yeah.
And it basically reboots her system. And she's like, I should go, as she is half naked out the door.
Yeah.
I have a big test tomorrow.
God. And then if you think about him, he's going to be like, this looks really fucking bad for Cyclops, man. Looks real bad. But oh, they never get into that.
Yeah. Looks like she has split personalities. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So then we cut to a laboratory and Caldecott is with one of his nurses and her and Lorna's eyes are fucked as they pulled out the implant. And apparently we're finding out what is happening on with these kids. Anytime they get a hard on, they go out and beat somebody with it. Is the line they use in the movie. And it is great. And it turns out her brain's all fucked up and they're going to have to cut out all the bad parts.
He's going
to
give her a lobotomy basically. And this is that scene where he's like, well, you're going to have to tell parents like she's going to be gone for a week, which I guess I can understand if you're going to be doing a lobotomy, you would be out for a minute.
Rough.
Yeah. But yeah, that's the thing. He's like, oh, man, this implant, you know, would totally work. But you know what? When they get horny, it just, they snap.
Yeah. Teenagers,
of all things, like, are going to be the most horny. So maybe try something different, Dr. Edgar.
I'll think about it next time. So we cut to UV and Rachel, a.k.a. Kitty. As she's gonna go get some cigarettes out of the boiler room because that's where they all keep their fucking cigarette.
Yeah.
I mean,
Mr. Newberry.
I mean, I guess most kids I knew just kept them in their car because they had cars. Like, she has a truck.
Yeah.
Nobody's gonna search her truck. She can keep her cigarettes in her truck. So,
So
she comes across a CD-ROM inside the boiler room, left there by Gavin. And Chug followed her in there. And he just has like a little heart to heart. He's just like, I know you're in here. I just want to talk to you. And then Rachel decides to confront him. Like, what do you want to talk about, Chug?
And this is where is he trying to ask her to the prom again or something?
Yeah.
Is that what he's doing?
He's just like trying to work up the, he's really nervous, all shucks. And he looks like he's about to shit himself. He looks like he has an upset.
Oh, he just asks her out. He's like, will you go with me?
Yeah, will you just go to the dance with me?
will you just go out with me?
And she just starts fucking laughing in his face, which is not the best answer.
No, but you know, teens, but maybe she shouldn't have laughed at him. He's just going to kindly been like, no thanks, Chug.
Yeah, that's
but she gives him a low blow. I can't remember what the fuck she says.
She says, I wouldn't go out with you if you're made of equal parts of shit and maggots.
Yeah, actually, I like that.
That was good. That was a good line. And then assault happens. A lot of assault happens.
He
gets very aggressive very quickly by pushing her against the boiler. Oh, then we find out that
the rat traps by King of the Rats. Mm-hmm. The sound that goes off to help kill the rats or herd the rats basically
fucks with the implant
and it's
screeching, mind-bending, mind-curdling sound for the people that have the implants.
Yeah.
So fucks with their brain. A lot of pain in the old noggin.
And, you know, King of the Rats, he makes a note. He goes, all right. Noted.
It's just funny how the Blue Ribbon's kind of snapping in and out of it. Chug fucking...
They use the hard R word in this movie. For Mr. Newberry. But I also think that's the whole reason why Mr. Newberry is allowed to exist. Like he said himself, he goes, I get away with a lot if people think I'm dumb.
Oh, yeah.
And he's not.
Like, everybody just leaves him alone.
Yeah.
He wanted to start his life over, and he decided to start his life over as
a janitor.
A janitor with a stutter, and people took him for granted, basically. Mm-hmm. So yeah. So Chug beats the Eradicator and walks out the room, and then we come across Cyclops and Lindsay Gingersnaps. And they're just having a little brother and sister moment. And they find that Lindsay Gingersnaps has a little bit of a blue ribbon. He's just like, you need to stay away from those fucking creeps. Mm-hmm. And then we have the weirdest drive-by ever as the blue ribbons. Yes. Sorry, I guess fucking ogling Lindsay, even though she's only in middle school?
She's exactly. Like, hi, Lindsay.
Like, these guys are these blue ribbons are looking like real creeps right here.
They are. I mean, yeah. That's just gross. But luckily, Lindsay just goes inside. She's like, yeah, whatever.
Well, kind of. She's just like, well, why don't I get to talk to those guys? She wants to. She's just trying to be her own person. Be like, well, I can talk whoever I want to. You can. You're underage, Lindsay.
Correct.
So Cyclops walks over to the trailer park where Joey Potter lives, apparently. She's been real, real hard ever since she left the creek. Her life's been real hard ever since she left the creek. So, which is it? She looks like she's mourning, essentially, because she got one last message from Gavin. And we got a little CD-ROM video, which I don't even know how he would have done this back then.
I don't know either. But it's a classic look that they all have where you're like, oh, yeah. And then I sit down and you're like, hello,
I'm trying to remember, was I burning video in 1998? Like, you would have had to add some money. All right, regardless.
How did he make this? It's true, though. I thought the same thing. I'm like, what did he film this on? And how did he put it on a CD for Katie Holmes to find?
Like, I know how I would have done it, but like years later. But like, I don't know.
I don't know either.
Interesting.
But basically, in this video, Gavin states that if you are seeing this video to his friend Rachel, Katie Holmes, like, I've been taken. All of this is real. Like, the blue ribbons are implanted or whatever. They're robots, I think he calls them. And like, you have to like kind of like what figure it out. Solve the case, you guys. Scooby-Doo. which I guess they do. They go on an adventure after this. Oh, he calls UV pigmently challenged.
There's some great lines.
There is. There really is.
He just wanted to let everybody, he wanted to let his friends know that he wasn't just paranoid.
Yeah. Like, it's true.
And so now Cyclops and Joey are like, okay, we have to do some investigating.
Well, she did a little bit of fucking research off camera, and she find out where he was working and where his offices are. And just on the other side of the bay.
Crazy. The mental hospital where this Dr. Edgar works or whatever.
Isn't that weird?
Mm-hmm. So we should go check it out.
Boom.
Bishop Flats, that's what it's called. Which, honestly, I think Bishop's Flats is... Oh, sorry, go.
No, sorry.
Razor.
I was waiting for it.
Razor, let's go.
He's like, Fairy's like 6 o'clock, and he's just staring at her, and she's just taking a moment to think, and she's just like, Razor.
Razor.
Just leave.
Frog. Gonna start texting that to you, Razor. And you're gonna be like, stop.
I think they only use it twice. You know, if they use it three times, maybe it would have been like, you know.
Twice was enough for me to notice how much I hated it, even. I was like, what? Oh, but on the ferry ride, you do get like the short glimpse where Cyclops does open up with the fact the loss of his brother. You do find out exactly what happened. He's like, 8 months ago, my brother took a gun to his head.
Well, in the edited version, or in the original version, it was a murder suicide, and Ethan Embry had a girlfriend, and there was scenes with him and his girlfriend, and it was I don't know who murdered who, though, but it was a murder-suicide. So either he killed his girlfriend in murder or she killed him and she killed herself afterwards. So there was a whole issue and there's a whole other character that was out of the movie.
In general, it's a very...
Regardless, you're still doing...
It's heavy. It's heavy. Yeah. That would have been heavier, though, if it was like a girlfriend, boyfriend and... Oof.
I also love it how it's just like this side character that isn't in the movie at all plays such a pivotal role in our main character's life, played by a really good actor.
Ethan Embry, where you see 30 seconds of
him. Yeah, which is great.
Yeah.
Like, still, like, you remember him.
Yeah.
You know he's in this movie, uh-huh. But he has, like, what? Less than a minute of camera time?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So we get to they get to Bishop Flaps, the mental hospital, and now, like, I think this was my favorite part of the movie in terms of horror.
Oh, I hated this part.
Oh, you did?
I hated this is the worst part.
Because I thought it was just silly, I guess. You know me.
It is very silly, yeah. As high schoolers do, apparently all high schoolers are really, really good into breaking in stuff, and these kids have snuck into a mental hospital without any security.
Exactly. Guard. They just walked right through the front door, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, there is a security guard in there, but there's no security.
I love it. There is a security guard where there is no security. Oh, I love it. Oh, man. So they come across all sorts of weird patients, apparently. And that one was the most disturbing one right there with the teeth and the blood.
Yeah.
Some guys don't look too great. Katie Holmes is scared off by one, but they're more scared of her than she is of them.
Yeah.
I guess what I meant for the horror part of it was you get the most... Like, you get the blood, you get a little bit more of the unsettling or the...
The kid, he looked like he was picking his own teeth out. That was a weird part. And Jim Carrey here.
Jim Carrey, but it's also, like, very One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. You have that, like, and there is a scene coming up here where Katie Holmes fucking punches the shit out of this girl.
This is like this, because it looked like what she's saying here also just sounds like what...
Meet the musical little creatures that hide among the flowers.
What a, like, a cool girl or a cool person wants to sound like when they want to act crazy, which I'm like, oh, these are just some silly ass lines.
So they go into a separate room, and they find another, this girl who, that's all she's saying. She goes, they meet the musical little creatures, da 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 da, over and over again. And she won't stop. And it's like, it's like causing everyone to be really overwhelmed in the mental hospital.
I guess their presence is upsetting her. And then she's upsetting everybody.
So Kay Holmes, to solve it, just punches her.
Fucking
nice fucking right hook.
Right out. And then it's fine. Everyone's like, oh, okay, we're good. We're good. And the whole point of this is that they find out that this girl is Dr. Eggers' daughter.
So turns out her backstory was cut out of the movie too, which was apparently one of the other cold opens that they had.
I would have loved to know more about her.
Basically, like, where all the research where his experiment with her went wrong, and then that was a cold open.
But this also just goes into like how I think that this doctor is what a bad guy.
Oh, he's a psycho.
He's a fucking psycho.
And I forgot
your daughter. You did that to your daughter?
I forgot what song they used for this
open. Oh, Fly Placita.
What was it?
Fat Fly Placita.
Is that what it's called?
Paranoid, paranoid.
Oh my God.
So that took me out for a second because I thought, I was like, oh, I love this song. And I just was like, oh, I guess it's like.
A really weird choice for.
It's a weird choice for that song.
Yeah.
Or weird spot in this movie to put that song. Even though that song is about being mentally unwell.
I guess because it's paranoid, paranoid, everybody's coming to get me. But it just sounds so upbeat.
Exactly.
But
And I know they're running out of there to be like, we got to get out of here. But I thought it just didn't fit.
They really realize that everything's gone to shit. Their parents are in tie with Dr. Aldecott and the fucking cops. And they decide, like, we're just fucking, I'm going to grab my sister and we're just heading out of town, which is a solid plan.
Oh, yeah. He's like, we're going on the ferry. We're getting the fuck out of here.
We're not confronting anybody. We're just going to get out. They're getting some gas. And Officer Cox just cuts them off and just tells them to pull over and asks where they're going. I like
your past curfew,
which is weird because it also seems like the adults are sort of brainwashed because Officer Cox just tells the gas attendant just like close up, and the gas attendant just kind of looks around. And is like, yeah, you're right, it is closing time.
Like you never noticed.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? You know what? It's nighttime.
I'm gonna go home. I'm gonna
Yeah.
Thanks, Officer Cox.
It's so fucking weird, but it happens. Like, I think does it happen somewhere else too? It also feels like it happens somewhere.
But again, this could be a huge reason. Because we didn't see so much of what this movie was supposed to be, what the director and the writers wanted, like, because it got edited down so much by the studio to fit like the 90s horror slasher.
Well, no, it just they were trying to appeal to the crowd, even though even in the first screening, like a majority of the people liked it and was well received, but they harp so much on the few people that didn't fucking like it that they were like, oh, yeah, well, we're just going to have to re-edit it. And then it happened again, and they read it again, and they did it fucking four or five more times. So we have this, which is still a decent fucking movie.
Yeah. Again, I still enjoy the movie.
Yeah.
A couple scenes that I wrote down here was, again, the brother's backstory we didn't get. I didn't know about the possible different death scenario, which it was interesting. But also, apparently, there was a love scene, if not a couple more love scenes between Marsden and Katie Holmes, which I makes sense of why there would be more, but I also am not mad at the fact that there isn't. Like, I don't think it's necessary.
No.
Like, I get it. They have a crush on each other, da-da-da-da.
Yeah, like, they give you the bare minimum to get through it. So
Officer Cox is basically just really, really harassing them. He decides to take him in. He takes the keys to the truck.
He decides to arrest them for no fucking reason other than they're just fucking teenagers out at night. But apparently, you know, they were probably the neighborhood's radar, apparently. And Mr. Newberry comes to save the day as he plays dumb. The cop suspects nothing. And Mr. Newberry gets the upper hand on Officer Cox. Mm-hmm. And Cyclops and Joey Potter escape.
Yeah.
Mr. Newberry. He also is very, very fucking helpful in this movie.
Oh,
I
mean, yeah.
That's why I enjoyed him.
I feel like, I mean, did Cyclops and Katie do anything?
Solve the mystery?
They do, but I mean, all right.
Cyclops breaks into his own house, tries to rescue his sister from the Blue Ribbon program.
He's like, we're going back to Chicago, Mom and Dad.
And turns out, Aldecott's there.
Yeah.
And I think this is the only fuck they use in this movie, because I think this movie is rated PG-13.
Yeah, I believe that.
And basically his parents are just like, we just want the best for you. Apparently just tell him to be better. And just feel better as opposed to actually talking through anything because they aren't.
Yeah. Oh, because his parents are they're doing the avoidant thing where they're like, we're not going to talk about this, which is not the way to go. I understand, again, everyone grieves differently, but you should always have someone to fucking talk to.
Yeah, yeah, 100%. Yeah. So he rushes outside and runs into a gaggle of Blue Ribbons. Mm-hmm. And as he is jumped again.
Yeah, we got Chug, we got Gavin, we got all of them. Andy, you got the works. Yeah. UV hanging out in the back.
Keeping an eye on everyone.
They kind of,
a tree.
Fucking Katie Holmes and Joey Potter, Katie Holmes and fucking Cyclops, they really just fucking left UV on the fucking side to fend for himself.
They really did, because they did not involve him at all.
Oh.
They're like, he lost Gavin too, you guys. They were best friends.
So Chug tackles Cyclops, and apparently that's enough to fucking knock him out, apparently. Mm-hmm. And Cyclops wakes up in the fucking laboratory.
Yeah, now we're going to like full Clockwork Orange land.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. As he gets shuffled down the hall.
I don't even know how they even got Katie, but apparently Katie's in one of the labs.
And they're about to put in some implants.
Back at the mental hospital.
No, I think this is like his own private lab.
Oh.
Somewhere on the island.
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, actually, you're right. It's never, yeah, because you would have to take a ferry back to.
Yeah, I just figured they're in the basement of the hospital at this point.
No, probably in the basement of the fucking school.
House on Haunted Hill. They went to the House on Haunted Hill because that's what it kind of looks like.
Kind of looks like it. So Cyclops was able to steal a little bit of a scalpel because he's got to get the fuck out of there as he's tied to a bed. And Dr. Edgar Alucard's going to have a little bit of a Bond villain moment as he explains the whole fucking situation to him.
Basically, like, what it is. He's like, I'm trying to create an army of these, like, well are like law-abiding citizens that are like athletes, and yeah, I don't know. He does say the really fucked up line. This is about, because James Martin starts mentioning the like the musical creatures that all hide among the flowers, which is the thing, the only line that his daughter could say.
Yeah, he hints that he's like, I came across.
He's like, I know. Secret. And what does he say about, like, what's the exact line where he's like, I fail or something about that experiment.
It's a battle I didn't win.
I don't know. Like, that is what didn't sit well with me, where I was like, this guy's a monster. Like, he used his daughter as a science experiment.
He says something worse right here. He's like, well, she wasn't that bright to begin with. So fucked up.
Oh my God.
He's a piece of shit.
Nightmare of a person.
Yeah, he's a piece of shit.
Yeah. So
I think his whole thing is that he's going to make this fucking army super of fucking race? Yeah, super race.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, very Mangala-esque. Yeah, 100%. Of people that are basically just gonna infiltrate society, and he's gonna have the upper hand on everybody.
Yeah, but so he's just, and then he like makes little comments where it's like, yeah, you gotta kill some mice or whatever in order, and I'm which is
break a few eggs to make an omelet.
And he's not wrong, but like what the science he's doing is completely
this is a weird implant,
unethical
though. Oh yeah, it's like a weird implant. Apparently like this machine would burn a hole in your eye to put the implant, so I guess you get a new implant in your eye that suppresses all this fucking shit, but who fucking knows. The video that they use, very Clockwork Orange, like you were saying. Yeah. Cheesiest fucking video that they made in fucking, who knows, Photoshop or After Effects at the fucking time.
But if you're any person in terms of horror that doesn't like the eye and something getting close to the eye, it's effective. Yeah, it's disturbing in that way.
It's like a fucking burning...
A burning needle going right into your retina. Yeah. Almost like in one of the Final Destinations, I don't know if it's 4 or 5, when one of the girls dies getting LASIK. Oof. That's a rough one.
Yeah, because then the laser starts going everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, and it like burns her. Oh, anyway. So then, but James gets out.
he cuts himself free and then just fucking hulks the handrail out of the chair and just stabs the lab attendant with it, which is like, all right, that's a little much. But you know what? I believe it, because James Marsden is a full grown 18-year-old.
You know what? He's he can do that.
Yeah, he can do that. He beats the two lab attendants out with the fucking pipe because
goes and saves Katie Holmes.
Because that is a strong jawline. You know, he can't beat a blue ribbon, but he can fucking take out some fucking nurses.
He grabs Katie, and I do like the little
final boss scene here.
The final boss scene here, but also where he just like leaves Katie, right? He just like plops her down.
Oh yeah,
he's like, you know what? Just stay here. Gotta fight Chug.
Sorry, the mini boss fight scene with Chug.
But I did like the little bit of the, you weren't sure if she got the implant or not. Like, you know, when he had to go wake her up, and he was like, bum, 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 and he's like, is she? I was like, yeah,
at the end,
like if it was actually Katie that was like still like but that doesn't happen, she's fine.
I also like it because James Marsden gets his fucking ass handed to him in every fucking fight scene,
and it's crazy because he's 18
year old grown man. So even Katie gets a one-up on Chuck. She fucking takes a pipe to his fucking face several times,
which is great. That's the kind of woman, lead woman, we want.
Well, she gets a little bit of a revenge, right, for, you know, not asking to be touched earlier.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, she got fucking assaulted, and I would have taken a pipe to him, too.
100%. So exit Chug, and then UV pulls up right on time.
Yeah, fuck yeah, UV, woo-woo. Like, it was like, it was crazy, but UV showed up with Lindsay, the little sister.
Yeah.
That's her name, right?
Lindsay, Ginger Snaps here. So then before he lets him into the truck, he's like, how do I know you're not a blue robot? And he's like, I don't know. Like, ask me a question.
Oh, yeah. He's like, what's the capital of North Dakota?
He's like, how the fuck should I know?
Like, get in. Nobody knows that. It's Bismarck.
Is it?
I think so. Okay. Hold on. I will look because it's going to bug me. You keep going.
So then... apparently word gets out and they have was it roadblocked the way out of town, and blue ribbons are all there in the numbers, so there's like easily 40 of these guys, and I guess fucking Cyclops is gonna take them all head on. What the fuck's he gonna do?
Exactly, all like 30 of them now, including Dr. Egger. It is Bismarck, everyone. It is Bismarck. I was correct.
What's the capital of North Dakota is the title of this episode. So as they're having a little bit of confrontation, we got a little bit of a beep beep as Mr. Newberry shows up to rescue a little Deus Ex
Machina. Takes out Dr. Egger with the tail of his car.
Yeah, man.
And all of these blue ribbons. Again, there's like 30 of them.
Yeah. And then as you see, Mr. Newberry's rigged up the audio system with Eradicators. And
King of the Rats.
King of the Rats.
Here we go.
Here to save the day. Deus Ex, King of the Rats. Mm-hmm. Wait. No, King of the Rex, Ex Machina. Thank you very much.
Ah.
Yeah. And everybody starts losing their fucking shit as they try to beat the shit out of the fucking car and the Eradicators.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Mr. Newberry does have a good line because he reveals that he's been stabbed probably in the altercation.
Shot.
And
Dr. Egger just shot him.
Oh, okay. And he's like, well, I'm not going to last much longer either. So that's when he takes all of these kids basically with the rat machines and has them chase the
car. Basically.
Yeah, he has them chase the car all the way down to fucking Makeout Point.
Yeah.
At the edge of the cliff. And for some reason, Cyclops just has to be there for the end scene. He takes a motorbike and he just follows it and just does a fucking little stunt there for no fucking reason.
Yeah.
Other than it fucking looked cool.
There was no point exactly. He was like, I'm just going to do a cool trick.
I'm going to cut off these kids real quick and I'm going to have a conversation. So yeah, we find out Mr. Newberry's been shot. And he tells him a nice little line. Do good things, lunch boy.
Yeah.
Not a bad line.
I don't. Yeah, not mad at it.
I liked it.
William Sadler, favorite character in this movie.
MVP of the movie for sure.
MVP, King of the Rats. So he basically... he's got all these crazy ass blue ribbon kids because they're going mental over the sound of these rat machines, and he just drives right off the cliff.
Yeah, I mean, I get it. Dr. Newberry just murdered 30 fucking kids.
Yeah.
At once.
Yeah, literally. He was like, well,
I'm going to go out. Here we go.
I wonder if he felt good to be like, I'm fucking sick of these fucking high school
fuckers calling every day.
Murder all of them. And then Dr. Edgar Allan the cut. We have the final boss fight.
Here we go. This is the final boss scene.
The Cyclops here in House of Usher.
And the doctor basically says, he goes, you don't think I'm going to go to another town and do exactly this?
Yeah, he's just like, they're always going to be worried parents and there's always going to be troubled teens.
Exactly.
He's like, just because you think you're going to stop me. But then it's a pretty quick fight because Cyclops just poof, pop, like.
Because he is a grown 18-year-old man.
Exactly. Finally.
That was a good move. I always love that move.
That little, little flip he does with him.
Yeah, and then pretty simply just like throws the doctor guy right off the cliff.
Oh yeah, he just got right hook off the cliff.
No trouble at all, considering he lost pretty much every other fight
with somebody his age.
Exactly, but now that he's fighting an adult, he's like, I'm gonna take.
Now that he's fighting a 50-year-old man, apparently he can take him on.
He does get back on his dirt bike to do another sweet trick where he goes off the landing bridge onto the ferry.
Because the ferry was leaving without him.
Yeah.
I'm sure he just would have waited till the morning. I'm sure he could have just waited till, because everybody's dead.
Everyone's dead. Well,
the cop might be alive.
Cop, well, perhaps, but the doctor's dead and all of the blue ribbons are dead.
Yeah.
And that was what confused me, where he's like, they're all, like, James literally comes back and he's like, they're all dead. And that's what it maybe raised a question. I was like, what about everyone else that went to that school?
100%. Like, like, what does the next day look like at that fucking school? Now they're fugitives, essentially, because if you ran away from a crime scene, immediately they're going to think that you were the ones who did it.
And like, if the real cops come into that town and be like, whoa, something crazy happened. And they're going to be like, well, the janitor killed 36 students and the doctor and these two fled.
Yeah.
And now everyone at that high school, again, presumably there's like 1,000 other kids there are like, whoa.
I have 5,000 kids in my high school.
I have
3,000? Yeah, exactly. It's a big... Those are
so
big.
That's what I'm assuming. Like, this school's got to have at least 2,000 kids, right?
100%.
Like...
So we're going to cut the middle. We're at least 2,000 kids. Yeah.
At least.
So, no, yeah. So, like, what does that look like? We need to speak to James Marsden and Katie Holmes.
The fact that he goes on the ferry and he's like, they're all dead. I'm like, they're not. You guys have, like... This is such a huge thing.
So,
but here we go, though, wrapping up the movie.
Yeah. What does that look like? I mean, if they wrapped it up, I mean, if they like covered it up, be like, yeah, crazy janitor murders 30 prominent
30 A+ star students. over the falls at Makeup Point. You're like, what happened? But I guess so. Like, well, moving forward to close out the movie.
We'll get there. We'll get there. On this, you know.
But the next scene is shows up is like we are at a new school with a bunch of rowdy kids.
Oh yeah.
Probably like a inner city school is like the idea that you're getting, I guess.
Yeah.
And we have the lo and behold, guess who survived?
Nick Stahl, Gavin.
Gavin.
Which is a real fucking higher learning moment right here, playing his best Michelle Pfeiffer impersonation as he goes into the inner city of LA, presumably, and he's going to make these kids better. Because where are there more troubled kids other than the inner cities? Racist, I want to say, actually.
That's
actually pretty fucking racist. And then his blue, his light.
His, like, he still has the eye thing. He still has the implant. So Gavin survived, and Gavin's going on to wreak havoc. Apparently is an adult, though. Like, he walked in, he's like, I'm the substitute teacher.
No,
and I was like,
they called him a student teacher.
Oh.
So they play into the fact that, like, oh, no, he is only 18, 17, but he's here to teach you guys all something because it's part of whatever fucking
like,
program they made up.
Like the last guy. Yeah. Like, okay.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, look, featuring Chad Donald. Yay! There you go. See right there. All right. And that was Disturbing Behavior in 1998. I, you know.
98, yeah.
You know what's really weird? Is that since they had that cliffhanger and so many other movies had really cheap knockoff sequels.
Why wasn't there one?
Why wasn't there, like, you know, they set it up right there. They could have easily had three or four. They had it.
I would like to see that.
They had kids. They had, you know, need sex, they need violence. Boom. They could have gone off the rails.
I would have liked to see a Disturbing Behavior part two.
Yeah. 100%. Bring it back.
Bring it back.
Bring it back, guys.
Hey.
It's actually funny because this movie was released on Blu-ray, and then I believe it's out of print now, but they're hoping for maybe a director's cut.
Yeah, that's what I kept reading about. Like, everyone...
Let's cut back to this real quick before we end this. Let's fill your ear holes with more bullshit. So, alternate ending...
Alternate ending. Oh, Gavin died in one of the alternate endings.
Dude, Gavin, and that was like when he died, like he kept talking in that. I watched. Did you watch it?
No.
Oh, it's he keeps fucking talking in this. All right. They have a whole
thing. When he's about getting
to die?
So this alternate ending happens right here on the ferry. Oh. Right as James Marsden Cyclops, Mr. Magoo's it into the fucking ferry. He comes across fucking Katie and they have a little bit of a fucking moment saying, like you said, like you love saying, they're all dead.
Yeah, they're all dead. And then it's like, where do we go from here? And they're like, as long as we're together, that bullshit. And you're like, yeah, okay.
You know, like, I guess like now they're just 18-year-olds on the fucking run, gonna go live their life somewhere, whatever. Nick Stahl shows up with a shotgun in this scene right here. And he's just like, you fucking ruined everything. And they have like a little bit of a confrontation, yada, yada, yada. He's like, they try to convince him to come with them. And then Nick Stahl's like, yeah, I guess, you know, like maybe we could start over. And he's just kind of doing a fake out as he turns around. He turns from them, then turns around with his shotgun. He's about to shoot everybody. And then UV in his best 90s rapper impersonation with a sideways gat. Shoots fucking Nick Stahl three times, but apparently Nick Stahl, Gavin does this whole fucking Deadpool 2 death scene where he just keeps talking for another 5 minutes as he was shot three times.
That doesn't surprise me.
He's just like, UV, you shot me three times, and goes into a fucking monologue. And I'm just like,
he's been shot three times.
Yeah, I'm just like,
he goes, this bullet hurts a lot right here. This bullet hurts a lot right here.
I don't remember what the fucking said because it was just like, I mean, they maybe had a couple of good fucking lines in there. But it was just like, I'm like, yeah, I can see why somebody wouldn't have liked it because you just kept going.
It's like, shut up, Gavin, more so. Not so much mad about that ending.
It was just more the performance. Like, it was a weird...
But that doesn't surprise me with that Gavin character because there were moments with him in the beginning where I was like, you've said enough.
He's a chatterbox.
He's chatty.
Yeah, he's a chatterbox. But I sort of like this ending.
I do too. I like the open end of it. Like we just discussed, I would have totally been down for a Disturbing Behavior part two.
In horror fashion, we love an open ending where you're led to believe there's a little bit more, you know, there's another movie in the works or whatever. Also, but I was always kind of peeved that there wasn't something else with Gavin and Cyclops. Like there wasn't a resolution to their friendship because he just sort of just like skulks off into the fucking shadows and starts a new fucking Blue Ribbon group somewhere else. You know?
Yeah. So what kind of questions could have been answered with whatever that was actually filmed. I want to know what the hell this movie actually was meant to be.
Except, so maybe eventually there will be a... Yeah. I know you can watch a lot of the cutscenes on the DVD.
And then I read somewhere as well as like a couple of fans, and it might be on YouTube, I didn't look into it, where fans have put in some of the special features from the DVD.
I think so.
And try to edit it to what actual, like the closest to what it was meant to be. What the director David Nutter meant.
Yeah.
Because again, that's such a bummer to work on a project that you're excited about and it completely be taken out of context. In a way, to the point where the director almost removed himself, his name, because he was like, this wasn't the movie that I wanted it to be, but he kept his name on it. For the cast and crew, because everyone worked so hard on it. And so he was proud of that. He was like, I am proud of everyone and their hard work that they did. So I'm going to leave my name on it. However, this was not the movie that I wanted.
That's so weird. Look at this.
40 minutes of cut. Oh, that's right. The original cut was 115 minutes long. And the released theatrical version is 84 minutes long.
Which I do understand that, because one of the things with the studio, they were like, teenagers aren't going to sit through 100 and how long was it? 115 minute movies. We got to cut it down to 80.
The movie's good.
Yeah, the movie's good, though. That's fine. 115 minutes, I'm not mad at.
The movie's good.
80 minutes, though, I do enjoy.
I think we just need a little bit more violence and sex.
Agreed. So that's what I was going to get to. Like, in terms of horror, which is our basis here, it wasn't. I had a good time watching it. Like, I loved it. I loved The King of the Rats. Like, I was King laughing. I'm like, this is so fun. But is it, like, yes, it's horror because it's sci-fi and it's different. But there left so much room for what it could have been.
I mean, I get it. It looks like the movie has some gaps.
Yeah.
Figured, like, there was enough there to hobble together this cut that... I don't know. It's kind
but,
of a bit,
again, like we said,
it's
at
got
the
a
top.
Bit of a cup following. Like I said, it was re-released twice on DVD, so good enough.
But yeah, so like we said at the top, though, not a bad flick. I enjoyed it. I thoroughly, and I think I told you, I'll watch it again. The poster of it sucks.
James Marsden does get his ass handed. I didn't realize that. So these characters essentially survive their ordeal. Then. Actually, except for like James Marsden at the end, but Mr. Newberry is the one that really saved the day. So
yeah, but like, I guess, you know, like we're going off in the end where they're like, oh, they're all dead, and then we're going back, no, they're not. Like, what the fuck is going to happen at this high school? Like, are you going to go back and be like, what about the principal? What about the guidance counselor? What about all these people that maybe didn't know what Dr. Edgar was up to?
Yeah, exactly. Like, maybe like this girl right here, this assistant or whatever. Yeah. Like, does she actually know or she just works at the school?
What about the parents? You have to go to 34 different parents and be like, hey, so sorry. Apparently the janitor, because you know they're going to pin it on him.
Oh, yeah.
Apparently the janitor killed all 30 of these fucking kids last night. So sorry.
Mm-hmm.
What a tragedy for this town.
Awful.
Like, and then James Marsden and Katie Holmes just go, and UV and the daughter. And then what about Katie? What about, James Martin's parents too as well. Like, do they all just think that yes, we're all gonna run away?
At least James Mars's parents, Steve's parents, character parents, whatever, they know at least his kid ran away because that's what he was planning to do.
Right.
And maybe they would probably find that he's not of the 40 odd kids that fucking flew off the fucking made out point the night before.
The cliff.
Yeah, him and his sister, you know, like, just hopefully just ran
went
away.
Went back to Chicago.
And like in 10 years, they'll make up and be like, yeah, you know, you didn't give me the love and support that I was looking for at the time. So I went away. Oh, that happens. But I think David Nutter did okay because.
Think he did fine. I like
apparently
that.
He loves like sci-fi and horror because the list of pilots that he's directed. Going back to Millennium, which was like a X-Files spinoff, Sleepwalkers, Roswell, that alien show with some other 90 stars, Dark Angel, that Jessica Alba TV show,
I forgot about that. I forgot about that
Smallville, Tarzan, Supernatural, Travelers, Terminator, the Sarah Chronicle Chronicles. Like, he did all these pilots.
Good for him.
That's bananas. Arrow, The Flash, like, get the fuck out of here. I think you did okay. So
I did read that he wanted it to be more sci-fi, more X-Files, and of course they wanted Scream. Studio wanted Scream.
Yeah.
Which
I think you just needed to up the.
Yeah.
You think you need to throw in some other stuff?
Right. I am not mad at it. I know the frustration. I'm sure that he went through with it with the studio just cutting the shit out of it.
Yeah.
And.
Let me see if there's any more posters for this fucking movie.
I don't think so.
All right, guys. Well, we hope that you enjoyed this episode. If you made it this far,
I'm giving it 4 out of 4 rats.
Oh, 4 out of 4 rats. Oh, you like it that much?
Yeah, I got a 4. I think I'll stand with.
I know it's not a perfect movie, so I will give it 7.5 yogurt shoppies out of 10.
Are you gonna go? Okay, well, I'm just. I don't know. Again, I'll probably watch it.
It's still high for me, though.
I like it. I give it 4. I'm only giving it 4 just because the horror part of it. I was like, this seems more...
It is a little bit. It's more thriller sci-fi, even though it's under the horror.
Which is genre. In our realm, and that's fine. But I don't know. I still enjoyed it. Oh, my God. William Sadler, King of the Rats.
I'm glad that we were able to indoctrinate Courtney into the Blue Ribbons. And like, look, these are all.
I better not get horny.
Look, these are all the same poster, like except for this one, which looks like a werewolf movie for some reason.
It looks like Twilight.
Actually, yeah, totally. Like, now I'm like,
there's one poster that looks exactly like Twilight.
I'm sure these are just photos of them from other movies.
Oh yeah, of course they didn't actually pose for that. Most of them don't.
Or at least, this might be them in one of the scenes, and then this might be Nick Stahl from some other thing. Yeah. Because that was a different haircut. He didn't have it.
But it is the same poster. There isn't a different.
There is just the. It's just this bad, bad washed out poster. That's so weird.
It is weird.
All right. So tune in next, guys. Follow us on all the socials.
Yeah. Instagram, TikTok.
Well, for as long as it's still around.
Yeah. YouTube, please. Yeah.
So, and maybe we'll do another 90s one. We'll see what's up. Courtney wants to do The Faculty, but I think The Faculty is too good of a movie to do.
Okay, if you say it's too good, it's
not.
Have
you not seen? I don't
think I've seen it all the way through.
Oh, man. Maybe we just do. What if we just do a dead air on The Faculty?
Okay, we can just do dead air on that. Because for our main episodes, we do like to, like you said, stick to ones that are middle of the road. Because we do, yeah.
Courtney, what if we just do your reactions to movies you haven't seen?
We can also do that.
Obviously, I've seen them.
That's fine too.
Yeah, that might work too. That might be the new
thing. Sometimes I can just get really behind as far as content and stuff that's out. Because sometimes I find it to be a little too overwhelming.
Okay. Fair.
And I'll be like, I'm just going to watch this again for the 50th time.
And sometimes I just want to watch everything new just to under the sun for fun.
I
mean,
I do go through spurts of that as well. I'm trying to be better at it.
Yeah. All right.
See you next time, thanks, guys.
Bye.